You know you've got a good man when a board member's actually able to serve you, hey? Oh, thanks. I need that. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Matthew 25. Who's looking forward to giving this morning? Who's looking forward to celebrating as a family this morning? The great. I'm looking forward to eating some of the multicultural dishes we have here this morning as well. You know, anyway, that's for after. Oh, fantastic. And if you're visiting with us, please feel free to join us. We'd love to share, wouldn't we, family? We'd really appreciate you can just freeload off us today. That's fine. And music team, come and join us. Beautiful. Dom and Diane, come and sit in the middle here. So we've just got these three sections. Thanks, guys. I don't want you to feel like you're in prison over there. In Matthew 25, verse 34, in the New King James Version, it says this. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Who's glad they're going to be on the right hand of the Father? We're going to be blessed by the Father. Jesus is going to come to us and say, you good and faithful servant. That's the whole message of Matthew 25. I have a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What an amazing God. For I was hungry and you gave me food. So now he explains how this has all come about. What does it say, church? It says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. We have, over the past three Sundays, had some wonderful presentations, haven't we, from Greg and Charlie with Port Care. What a privilege it is to not only be doing overseas mission and helping those overseas, but also being a part of the local community, which I know some of you are involved in. Just give me a wave if you're involved in any way in Port Care. Lana, how long have you been in our church? 4 weeks, and you're already helping in Port Care. Let's give this lady a hand. Who else did I see there? Mike O'Neill. Well done, man. You're a good and faithful servant, you. He is, isn't he? Yeah. I know there's others. I'm glad that we can do crisis care here. You know, we work in with so many community groups. Pastor Charlie is involved with Catherine now as well. Isn't it great that we can actually have Catherine working 3 days a week for Port Care to really bring it up a whole nother level? It's really good. We do low-cost food, as you know. Please take advantage of not just the Tuesday night free bread. Who's enjoyed that, those of you who come to the prayer meeting? But also, but you can go in there and shop, can't you, Charlie? I really need Charlie and Ellen just to bring me a box of goodies because I always forget. But we can go up there and be involved in that. And they have clothing and furniture, and it's just brilliant. But this morning, I want to focus in a little bit more on the two areas of Southeast Asia and Liberia, as well as preach into it before we take up our offering and the kids come back. So if we have the Southeast Asia, the Divine Inheritance video, let's watch this. This is the Child Soldiers. Are we ready to go with that, Dave? Yeah, we're good. Thanks, AJ. Let's turn the lights off. Let's watch this video again just to refresh us. This.
Because they cared for widows and orphans, the Young family has established a foundation stone for true religion. As a result, Child Soldiers are now being rescued from a life of violence and being cradled in the loving arms of Papa God.
When we're able to take one of these children into a home, then, you know, first of all, they're fed and clothed. You know, we start touching some of the natural, you know, needs that they have, but they're also loved, and they're so grateful. It is amazing how grateful they are because they know what they were rescued from. So they come into a place where there's a spirit of prayer and worship on their lives, where very fast they begin to love the Word, and we teach them how to read and write. And so every evening, then they have devotional times, which are the times that they really look forward to, where they all gather as communities and just worship the Lord together. We teach them basic principles of agriculture. You know, in a lot of situations, we'll have pigs and chickens, we'll have gardens, we'll have tea trees, orchards, fish. Of course, they learn how to wash all their own clothes and to, you know, we teach them basic sanitation issues, reading and writing, and then we try our very best to send them to good schools or to have a school situation for them. So we actually try to educate them all the way through high school and then later give them trade skills or university education because we plan on these children being world changers one day.
They've kicked me around ever since I was young, but they never could keep me down. They kicked me around ever since I was young, but they never could keep me down. If you hadn't been for us, when everyone else was against us, we would have been swallowed alive.
You know, James 1:27 talks about true religion. It says that true religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the orphan and widow, or to care for the orphan and widow, and to keep oneself untainted or unstained from the world. God created true religion in such a way as to bless us and not to make life difficult for us, but instead to bring another measure of understanding of His love into our lives. You know, if you look at the scriptures, you can list out many different ones that God used. Esther was an orphan who was powerfully used, you know, brought before kings to save her nation. Daniel was orphaned from his parents. These were the ones that God raised up and used to impact and change nations. When you partner with us, you're stepping into sowing into the Esthers and Daniels that will actually stand before kings, will direct the courses of events for their people, and will impact entire nations.
They've kicked me around ever since I was young. They never could keep me down. We have flown free. They never could keep me. They never could keep me. They never could keep me.
Back on, thanks, guys. It's powerful, isn't it? I know Roy and Jane honoured me to starting the project originally, but Andrew and I. But I just want to honour the Newlands and all the work that they've done in Southeast Asia. Aren't we glad that we got families that are actually prepared to go and do the mileage and make these things a reality? I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could have put one of my children, put an AK-47 around them in primary school or any age. And I'm glad we're involved in helping, aren't you? And we've got a school photo of the Newlands outside the PowerPoint, have we? If we can't find it quick. Oh, there we go. That's one of the two schools. Oh, is it one? One school we've actually completed with the funds we've done in the past. I don't know about you, but we have, say, it is two. Yeah, two schools in one. That's what I thought. Brilliant. It's great. We are using the money to actually make a difference, which I think is fantastic. You know, and then there's Pastor Collie and all his helpers, which seem to be growing rapidly over there in Liberia. And maybe we'll just watch the short video that we've got of him, and then I'll preach a bit before we do the offer. Let's do that, guys. I need to. He's showing us the school here. Now, we've had to dub it because it's just bad quality video, and all the kids are actually singing behind him, but we can't understand what he's saying. So he's walking up the orphanage here, and he's showing us that the roof needs repairs. See, so at the moment it's pouring with rain, and that's sand on the floor. So you can, well, there's no windows, there's no doors, look at that. So I'd like to see this place finished in a photo sometime next year, hey? So, I mean, yeah. I mean, they have, like, it's their monsoon season right now, so. Wow. This is one of the bedrooms where the orphanage kids sleep. So basically it's constructed of, like, mud, concrete kind of deal, and then about eight children, I think it is, sleep in the one room. See, he's still got our shirt on. He's got a hold of the C3 vision, 1,000 churches by 2020. He's making a difference. It is. It's fantastic. And he's showing us this. It's just, obviously, they've got no lighting, so he's just trying to show us some of the other bedrooms here. So I need a few mattresses. So this is some of the things that we can use. They don't actually have, which is probably part of the malaria problem. You can see there's all holes and areas where they need to fix up. This is the actual school grounds. This is the mother of the orphanage, who wanted to keep this orphanage going. She actually has inherited the land. It's in her family line, so she's inherited the land, and she's looking after these 32 children. And this, where we're going now, I know it's they need to keep it still, but obviously they're not like us. They're not used to holding a camera at all, so they're not doing a bad job, are they? And so all the kids are following along. They've got signs up which I think say, "Please help us." "Will you please support us?" Those kind of things. And they're walking towards the orphanage, the actual school part. This is the kitchen. Now, this is where they cook all the meals. This is where Sue Rensker and I actually ate a meal from. That's their kitchen. Just thought I'd give you an idea, so we'll stop it there. Let's turn the lights back on. That'd be great. So our biggest need, in fact, is in Liberia. But $10,000 per year we're going to promise to Southeast Asia if we reach our target. I'd love to see less child soldiers out there, wouldn't you? So that's number one. Number two, I'd love to be able to do... we need about 30,000, and we can actually... well, our plan is, as you know from Renska's talk, didn't she? They do a marvellous job last week, the girls, by the way. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but it seems kind of surreal, even unbelievable, that what we were now involved in from nothing. And I seriously believe it's because of the hand of our Maker that we've been able to achieve some of the things we've done already. It says here in James 2:14, let's pop up the PowerPoints again, this is James 2:14. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" That's a really good question, isn't it? "Can such faith save him?" And both in Matthew 25 and in James 2, there is an unbreakable connection between what we believe and what we do. Who knows that the two go hand in hand? And we can be very comfortable in our society. And, you know, we use the most Panadol, what does that tell you, in the world, here in Australia, per person. because we just don't have any capacity for hardship. But you know, there is hardship in our world, and we live with hardship, and we should actually have some sacrifice and hardship in our life, because isn't that what Christ endured? Now, so I think we get an unrealistic view of life if we think that everything's going to be good all the time. We actually have seasons where we should have endure, and we have situations that come into our life where, well, that came out of left field, but we endure in faith. No one believes on Christ who has not been given a new nature. Aren't you glad this morning we've got a new nature in Christ? And although that nature does not show itself all at once, we're not all perfect yet, are we? We continue, though, in our relationship with Jesus, and his nature increases in us through our relationship and through hanging together and being involved in each other's lives. The story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, which the first part of there, which I've talked about a little bit earlier, our faith is not transferable. We've got to have a personal walk with God. When we get to the gates of heaven, as it were, as illustrated by this whole of Matthew 25, it's not based on the church's efforts, it's based on our relationship with our Saviour. In the story of the servants with the 5 bags of gold, the 2 bags of gold, the 1 bag of gold, the master loved the 2 who used what they had been given. All God asks us to do is to use the things, the resources, the work, the things that he's given us. He's asked them to use them for his kingdom. He's asked us to help those in need. And yet this man did nothing. It would appear that he was a good man. He would have seen himself as a good man. It would appear that he would call himself a Christian, but he did nothing. So you can believe but do nothing. And I believe that God wants us to believe and have good works. Isn't that what the Bible says? But there's a third point too. There is to be made about these two stories leading up to Judgment Day. The failure of excuses before God. I know it sounds really serious, and I guess it is. You know, I've been to a couple of surprise parties. Who's ever been to a surprise party where the person that's being surprised is like, I did not realize this, and they're like, oh my God, who's been to one of those? A few of you, you know, and it's just like, oh my goodness, they're gobsmacked, the whole thing. They weren't expecting it at all. And I think when we read these judgment stories that there really will be a surprise for many on the day of judgment, and it will not be a pretend surprise. But many are going to be absolutely astounded at Christ's judgment. The first 5 virgins left outside were utterly surprised when the front door was closed and they could not get back in. The man who had failed to use his talents was equally surprised. He expected to be rewarded. And then there are the goats. We do not want to be a goat. We don't want to be one of those butthead persons, do we? Come on, seriously. And this is what Jesus said. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or need clothing or sick or in prison and did not help you? That's what the goat said. They mean that they would have done everything that is required if they had only seen Christ, but since they did not see him, they cannot imagine why they are being judged. And each of those individuals expects to be rewarded. Each expects to enter into the joy of the Lord, as one version says. I'm excited because we're going to have a celebration in a little while. I'm excited that we can enter into the joy of the Lord because we are, as a family, committed to the causes that Christ has given us to do. kids outside, they are, the kids outside. Just give, they're ready to go. Cool. Thanks. Tell them one minute we'll be. Matthew 25:23. You know, I want this for every one of us. Wouldn't you, don't you want this for Jesus? Jesus to say this. Well done. Turn to your neighbor and say, well done. And then it goes on. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. It's not like we have to be faithful over every detail of our lives, but at least get some of the main things right. Hey? Who's glad about that? Hey, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to get it right all the time. But hey, this is an opportunity where we can get it right. This is an opportunity where we can make a difference. This is an opportunity that we're not going to miss out on. It's an opportunity to bring some cash, and you know, we can expect great miracles in our lives, yeah, sure, but there's also the commitment part. The commitment part over the next 12 months where we fill in that faith promise card and say, I am committed. Just, fantastic seeing the kids come in. I didn't realize we had so many here this morning. What an awesome thing. You see, church, our faith must be alive. There will not be any surprises on Judgment Day. And I'm doing my best to make sure that for any of us, there's not going to be surprises on Judgment Day. But the rest is up to you guys. There will not be any surprises on Judgment Day for those who are using the things God has provided them with to help others. To those who use well what they are given. Let's finish with this passage here in 29, Matthew 25:29. Those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. When we give into the kingdom of God, that we will have an abundance back into our life. It's a principle of, even the world know it, don't they? You sow a little, you're going to get something back. And yet we balk at it because it's a spiritual thing and we need to war against it. And we need to rise above it and say, no, I'm going to allow my Savior to rule and reign in my life and not my circumstances, not myself. If God is Lord, I will give the thing that God has called me to give. And I will be a part of the service of the kingdom of God, and I will get to heaven, and I know that I don't have to worry because I'm not a goat. I'm not butting heads. I have unity through the Spirit of Christ in me. So let's pray this morning before we take up our offering. If you need a, does anyone need a pen for their faith promise card? I should say that. Does anyone need a pen? Just give the ushers a wave and they'll get one to you now. Excellent. Hello, Pastor Andrea. I'm relegated to the floor. Anyway, it's all good. You know, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to, Lord, make a significant difference in other countries, particularly in Liberia and Southeast Asia, Father, where we're involved at the moment, and that we will, Father God, see the blessing of God in our own lives as we give. Lord, I thank you for the miracles I'm going to hear, that each person is going to have where there is no lack when we give into the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. People of God said. So I'd like the music team with their husbands and wives.